Welcome to Nerd Off, a weekly trivia podcast brought to you by Highball Trivia. Two contestants will face off in 10 categories. Each player will wager 10 or 20 points for their opponent on every question. If a player gets the question right, they get the points. If they get it wrong, their opponent gets the points. At the end of regulation, players will each face two final questions, one in each player's specialty. To earn their wager, which can be any or all of the points they've earned so far, players have to get both questions correct. Now here's your host, Andrew Buxbaum.
All right, so we have another fantastic game for you tonight. We have our final in our little series here with some pub trivia experience, guys. I mean, they're just not just pub trivia experience, but that's where I know them from, so that's how I'm introducing them. Plus, this is kind of trivia, so, you know, that's how it's going to go. Tim, you won our first game, so why don't you introduce yourself first?
Yeah, I am Tim. I'm from Fayetteville, North Carolina, and I am one of the four hosts of the Pub Trivia Experience and Boozy Bracketology podcasts. Pub Trivia Experience is just kind of your normal trivia podcast. Boozy Bracketology, we sit there and we argue usually 32, sometimes 64 things all the way down to one and crown champions. I'll let Chris talk a little bit more about that, but over on PTE, we are nearing the finals of our first ever Pub Trivia Experience Hot Seat Tournament, and it has been a whole lot of fun. Tonight, however, I am here to, you know, kick ass and take names, and I am drinking Voodoo Ranger Juice Force IPA. So we'll go ahead and get that open there. And it's a hazy Imperial IPA that I just absolutely love.
Now, PTE, that's what that quarterback from Miami is going to end up with, right? too soon? Too soon? No,
very, very soon.
To be clear, my thoughts are with Tua because he should have never been out on that field, but, you know.
Agreed.
I'm not going to miss a CTE joke if it's just laid up for me. All right. So, Tim, you won that first game, and you claim you're going to win this game. But you do have one obstacle in your path. His name is Chris. Chris, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, everybody. My name's Chris. I am from Clearwater, Florida. We are safe. There is no hurricane here. It went well south of us. So I am celebrating by drinking a bottle of Baker's Bourbon. Baker's is from the Jim Beam Distillery. Not a huge Jim Beam guy. This is pretty good. It's actually coming a little hot. It's 107 proof. And a little bit late tonight. I'm on my second glass because work was hell today. You heard us already. If you like trivia, if you like what Drew does here, you'll probably like us as well over at the Pub Trivia Experience. It's a fun time. We've been going on for a few years now, so there's a lot of back episodes. But Boozy Bracketology to me has been just one of the most fun experiences of my life because we will literally take anything and put a bunch of people in front of a microphone and we will argue it out until we crown a champion. So like we just did, Tim hosted the September episodes, which was the best 90s sitcom, which holy shit, people have opinions on. And then in October, it's Halloween themed. We got to go Halloween, best Halloween candy. We're going to argue that hell out of the best Halloween candy. And it is, we are two episodes in on that so far as recording wise. Oh my God. There are some controversial opinions regarding some of your favorites.
It's Reese's Cups, man.
I would have thought Reese's Cups is the solid number one seed. I'm just going to drink this bourbon right now, though.
Well, I too want the bourbon route, so there won't be a satisfying can pop, but maybe I can just do the little whiskey rocks jiggle.
You can do the uncorking.
Oh, that is true. That is true. You can do the uncorking.
What is that bottle?
It's a little Larceny bourbon.
Oh, Larceny. Ooh, I like Larceny. I'm a big fan.
It's a solid, middle of the road, daily drinker. It's not nothing too special, but goes down nice and smooth.
You've been able to find their full proof out there? Not to get on a bourbon train, but the non-cut.
Probably could if I looked for it.
It's tough to find, but it's it packs a punch. It's really delicious.
See, now I have a new mission in front of me. All right. So you guys are here tonight to determine which of the four of you are the best. Mike and Jeff have already been eliminated. So, either way, you can both talk shit to them. So that's always fun.
Sucks to be them.
It does suck to be them. And speaking of Halloween, this isn't going to be a Halloween episode because I didn't want to do that for the final matchup here. But whatever airs right after you guys will end up being a Halloween episode. So you guys aren't the only one that's going to have a Halloween theme going. Yeah, I didn't have the energy in me to do that. So thank you for doing that.
Chris but, always has the energy for an evil laugh.
Yes, but our first category tonight is going to actually combine both of your podcasts, and we're going to just do boozy trivia.
Ooh.
See what we did there? All right. So, Chris, what do you think Tim knows about boozy trivia?
So I'm trying to infer from the name that it means it's probably alcohol-related. Tim is a good friend. He is a good man. But Tim likes his beer. I don't know how deep he goes into anything other than beer.
About 6 inches on a good day.
That's generous. That's generous. I respect Karen too much to make a joke there, but that's generous. I'm going to go with just a standard bet on this one, I think, though. I'm just going to play it safe.
So 10 instead of...
Yeah, 10, yeah.
Not gonna chance the 20?
Okay. No, not yet.
And Tim, what about for Chris?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go the same. Chris is pretty diverse in his drinking, or at least if it's a bourbon question, he probably knows a lot of it. And he delves pretty far into beer. So unless it's like vodka or something, I'm going to go 10.
Tim, I'm not an alcoholic, I swear.
No, I said you were diverse.
I mean, I couldn't get everyone here tonight. It was going to be an intervention instead of the final game, but we said, fuck it, let's drink and just do the final game.
I'll drink to that.
See, to answer your question from earlier, Chris, there I go. I already have an F-bomb in here.
Oh, thank God it wasn't the first.
Yeah, you'll never be the first. Like I said, I'm from Jersey. It's actually funny because back when my kid was 4, he found the loophole into cursing. When I would curse, he'd be like, Daddy, you can't say fuck. And, you know, he's not wrong. Like, so I'm just like, oh, God, you loopholed me, you little shit. Anywho.
Definitely your kid.
Yep. Tim.
Yeah.
Fittingly, what fruit flavor is a porn star martini?
What fruit flavor is I'm going to say peach.
Ooh, I like that, but peach is actually incorrect.
Oh, is it strawberry?
No, it's passion fruit.
Oh.
Okay. Okay.
You know, it's a little lovemaking right there. It's okay. It's only 10 points.
I don't think there's lovemaking in porn. I'm not an expert here, but I don't think there's lovemaking in porn.
Passion in porn,
I mean, it's passion. It's lusty and, you know, dirty and grimy, and you probably need a couple showers after. That's just me watching, so.
I love this show.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I don't have any sponsors. I got nothing to worry about, so no one's ever going to sponsor this crap. Well,
this podcast brought to you by Manscaped.
Well, Chris, what cocktail contains vodka, peach schnapps, OJ, and cranberry juice?
You said the V word.
I did not say vagina. I said vodka.
I hate vodka. My boss drinks vodka like a fiend. I don't touch vodka. I don't touch vodka. Like, I don't touch tequila anymore. I said anymore because tequila is a drink that if you have one too many of one night, you'll never touch it again. Okay, so read that one more time. I went off on a tangent.
Absolutely. What cocktail contains vodka, peach schnapps, OJ, and cranberry juice? And to be clear, OJ is an orange juice, not OJ Simpson.
Well, it's not a Bloody Mary. Okay.
I believe that's called a Bloody Nicole.
I wasn't going to make that joke, sir. I wasn't going to make that joke.
It's been long enough. I think we can.
Oh, damn.
Well, the family friendliness just went out the window.
I'm sorry. People should have learned before now not to listen to this with their kids.
It took one question. Okay. Vodka. Peach schnapps is what's throwing me because I can't think of a peach drink. The one that comes to mind, I don't know if it's vodka, but is it a Bellini? I'm going to go with a Bellini. I'm not a vodka drinker.
A Bellini is a drink, so you've got that, but it's not a vodka.
Oh.
What you were looking for here kind of went along with the porn star martini. It was a Sex on the Beach.
Ah. Yeah, there is peach in that. Yep. I live in Clearwater, damn it. I should know that.
That's all right. My first thought was it was a tequila sunrise. I was like, no, that has tequila in it.
What drink has vodka tequila sunrise? Oh, boy. So we traded some points early on here. So no one's jumping out to a lead, but that's good. That's good. We're both in it still. Your second category is going to be the Jeffrey Sigurton Kern Event Round of Epicness.
Oh, Jeffrey.
Yep. Gotta love
Jeffrey, it. Jeffrey.
Well, it was funny because Jeffrey was on my wedding invite list until today when I realized that most of my trivia people on my invite list will not be coming because my wedding falls on the main event of SporkleCon next year.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, okay, Nick Groves out, Jeffrey Sigurton out, Jonathan Oakes not coming. yeah.
Bummer. It's not too late to change that day.
Oh, yes, it is. I'm not changing the date because of trivia.
No, you're not. You would change the date because of trivia. The fiance wouldn't.
I'm pleading the fifth on that one.
Yeah.
You're going to get him in trouble.
Frankly, I wouldn't either because we already went through a whole date change fiasco because of a family drama BS.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, so the ironic part is if that family drama BS hadn't happened, my friends would be able to come to the wedding. But anyway, I digress. Tim, what do you think Chris knows about his current events?
Oh, I get to choose. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm going to say 20 on this. I don't think Chris keeps up on the current events all that much.
Ooh. And Chris, what about for Tim?
I know for a fact Tim does keep up on the current events. I'm giving him 10.
All right.
Tim is a new town.
We'll have some separation here at the very least. All right, Chris, you're up first. It was recently announced that the musical performer for our next Super Bowl will be this artist who has had 33 Grammy nominations and 9 wins.
Oh, this is one I know. The Queen of Barbados, that's Rihanna. And 100%, she could stand under my umbrella any day and my wife wouldn't care.
Wow. Wow.
Well, if you had told me it was going to be a music question, I wouldn't have given him 20.
You're a lying sack of shit because you do nothing but give me crap about my music taste. And I guarantee Rihanna is not on my playlist, sir.
I know one Rihanna song. Even though you can stand under her umbrella?
Oh, I can. I'm a big dude. Like, I need 2 umbrellas.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm not a small fellow myself, so I get that sentiment. All right, Tim. Don't worry, I kept them similar here. You both are getting music current event questions.
Lizzo.
That's not exactly the answer I was looking for.
James Madison.
And all right, you got 10 points on that one. Figured the Lizzo part was too easy. All right, Lizzo made headlines for playing a historic flute at a concert in D.C. What president did the flute belong to?
That was James Madison's crystal flute.
It was. I mean, that sounds like a fucking, item you got to find on a quest, right?
I'm so happy I didn't get that question. I had no idea on that one.
Oh, yeah. It's been all the outrage among right-wingers who suddenly know that there's a crystal flute owned by James Madison.
Yeah. It's funny because... So in another trivia group chat that I'm in, actually for our Quizzo Bowl team, second place in Philly a few weeks ago, it got posted in there when that happened the other day. And I was like, you know what? I'm really glad because honestly, at the end of the day, no one knew that flute existed. So who cares? It's collecting dust. But now you might have one or two kids out there that because of Lizzo, they look up who the f*** James Madison was. And they might actually learn something instead of that thing just collecting dust in a closet somewhere.
So a fun fact about James Madison, before he married Dolly, he was romantically linked and was pursuing...
To Lizzo?
Theodosia.
Oh. Okay, I thought you were going to say Lizzo, and I'm like, wow, she's time traveled.
God, that'd be hilarious. No, he was pursuing Aaron Burr's, I guess...
Interesting.
First wife? Second wife? I don't know.
Fling to second wife? I don't remember.
Her second husband, I think the Aaron Burr.
Her second husband, his first wife, yeah.
But he was pursuing Theodosia as well.
Yeah, when you get into like some of the founding father shit, it gets it's really so interesting. Weird. It's era weird. Soap opera.
It is.
I'm surprised like we haven't had like more shows and things about that, because like people get really into like all the British monarchy TV shows. Mm-hmm. You could very easily do like a founding fathers drama series that would, you know,
probably oh, yeah, but the hell out of that.
I would 100% watch.
There's 100% reason why we can't.
Why is that?
Because people would realize how shitty they were.
Yeah, we can't hold them up to the altar anymore. They can't be these perfect people.
Well, they're not. And, you know, that becomes more apparent, like, each passing year as we become, like, more socially aware. Because it's just, like, you know, it started with when people wanted Jackson off the 20. It's like, you know, compared to everyone else in the day, he wasn't that bad. So, like, honestly, he wasn't. The Trail of Tears was authorized because the South was threatening to execute all the Indians. So he actually made the Trail of Tears deal to keep them theoretically alive. A good thing.
He wasn't the president during the Trail of Tears. During the Trail of Tears, that was Van Buren. Van Buren's the one that went along with it.
Yes.
But yeah, you're not technically wrong.
Yeah, the plan was put into place. Oh, yes, but they all were. They all were, is the point.
Yes.
But it's funny because, you know, it used to be, oh, you know, Jackson was the worst. It's like, no, they all were the fucking worst. They were all just terrible people. Like, you know, great George Washington. Yeah, his fake teeth were made out of slave teeth. Like, it's, you know, it's not all pretty stuff.
No.
But, you know, we shouldn't go redo the Constitution or anything, right? That was made by these guys who were literally pulling teeth out of slaves' heads to put in their own mouth. No. But I digress. Category number 3 is in food. So, Chris, what do you think Tim knows about food?
I've known Tim for a couple of years now. We met through mutual friend Lauren Carey. Shout out to the Beard Owl podcast. I don't know what Tim knows about food, though. But I do know if you
Hey, Lauren, if you're listening to this, butts, poop, pee-pee.
That was a solid number 2.
I'm giving Tim 20 here. Let's see what he can do.
All right. And Tim, what about for Chris?
I'm going to go with 10 on Chris here. I think. Okay. I think he at least knows. I mean, you said it, not me.
Yeah, I feel like this might be a discriminatory wager here.
It's not the first time I've been accused of calling somebody fat on a trivia podcast.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, Tim, I need to get into it at some point. Sorry, go ahead.
Tim, natural vanilla comes from what plant? Part of one of the two largest groups of plant species, and its name originates from the Greek for testicle.
Vanilla comes from...
what type of plant? That means testicle.
What type of plant?
Yeah, it's a family of plants.
Okay. For some reason, orchid is sticking out in my head, so we'll just go with orchids.
Well, orchid is sticking out in your head because that's the Greek word for testicle.
Nicely done, Tim.
That's how you knew it, not from the vanilla part, right? You just know your testicles well.
I mean,
there are orchids on the labels of like the McCormick vanilla. That's a good pull, Tim. Hell of a job. Nicely done, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Tim, what am I getting here?
10 for you.
10. Saffron comes from the crocus, which is part of what family, whose name derives from a Greek goddess who carried messages from Olympus?
I don't know. And there's a hint there, and I can't even place the hint because I'm not up in my mythology. Can you get a reread one more time for me, please?
Absolutely. Saffron comes from the crocus, which is part of what family, whose name derives from a Greek goddess who carried messages from Olympus?
Okay, here's my issue. I don't know anything about food other than someone cooks it and I eat it. I'm not exactly sure what saffron is. It comes from the crocus. Don't know what the hell that means.
So this is going well for you.
How did I beat Jeff? My God. Jeff would know this. Jeff married a freaking pastry chef. He would know all of this. I honestly don't know. We're looking for a family of plants. I'm going to say it's from the crocus. There's got to be a way in here somewhere. Crocus doesn't really bring me anywhere other than it has oak in the title. So, yeah, we're going to go with the oak trees. Sure.
It is not the oak trees. The Greek goddess involved here would be Iris. Iris.
Not going to get there. Sorry.
I know. I should have put a Goo Goo Dolls hint in there for you.
Carmela Smith would have owned the hell out of that one, just so you know.
Oh, I'm well aware of that. But 100%. Neither of you is she.
I wish sometimes.
All right. Well, it's still a nice close game. Have no fear. Tim does have a little bit of a lead, 50-30, but it's still anyone's game because it's nice and early. Our question four is in the category of space, the final frontier. So, Tim, what do you think Chris knows about space?
Okay, so if you had just said space, then I know that this would be a science question. But you threw in the final frontier, and now I don't know whether this is a science question or a Star Trek question. But I am going to go, let's throw a 20 on this one.
All right. And Chris, what about for Tim?
I don't. So I know Tim, when it comes to science, I would actually throw a 20. But when it comes to like nerd television, I know he actually runs pretty deep there. You see the final frontier, that brings me to Star Trek. I know he's pretty good at Star Trek, so I'm going to give him, I keep giving him 10, and I feel like that's biting me in the ass. I'm going to give him 10 here.
All right. Well, I think you read a little too far into me putting the final frontier there. I was just having fun with the category name. All right. So, Chris, you're up first.
I'm definitely NASA... not blue whiskeys in. Let's see.
NASA recently pulled an Armageddon and tested knocking an asteroid off its path with its DART mission. What does DART stand for?
Double asteroid. Oh, God. It's double asteroid. I know that because I literally just wrote this trivia question. Oh, my God. Double asteroid. I know that because I'm like, oh, that's weird. Because they only slammed the rocket into one piece. They didn't redirect two. They only redirected one, if I'm not mistaken. But it's double asteroid. I want to swear right now. It's not even close.
Do it.
God, is it what's coming to mind right now is double asteroid redirection test, but I don't know if that's right. I know double asteroid and test are right. I know for a fact. I just wrote this question, Drew. No joke for a game I was hoping you were going to be on, so I have to freaking delete this question from my bank.
Or
I don't know if it's redirection. It there. Redirection is what's bothering me. Double asteroid and test, I know are right, and I feel like it's redirection, but I don't know. I'm trying to think of what else it could possibly be. Reflective. Oh, God. I know it's double asteroid and test. I know that. Can I get some points for dat? I mean, God.
Give you points for dat ass.
Okay, so what else could R be? Redirection.
Resurrection.
It's the Jesus asteroid. That's what it is. Yeah, double asteroid redirection test is my best guess. I don't know why the redirection is coming to mind, short of it. I know they slammed a rocket into one of them. So redirection is a little bit weird because I don't think they slammed the rocket into both. They slammed the rocket into one. Double asteroid redirection test. DART. Final answer.
Yeah, I was so hoping he was going to talk himself out of it.
Like he could have stopped agonizing over that like 2 minutes ago.
I like hearing myself talk.
That's I was so hoping podcast, he was right? going to talk himself out of it.
Am I right? Tell me, am I right?
You're right.
Yeah.
If we're sitting here saying, you know, he's saying he wish you talked yourself out of it, then obviously you're right.
I'm three drinks in. Leave me alone.
I'm catching up to you. I got my second glass of bourbon here. I'm doing all right. All right, Tim.
Yep.
NASA's new SLS rocket and Orion crew capsule will launch to the moon in mid to late November under what name? Guess you could say we're hunting the moon.
That would be Artemis.
I'm going to need you to be more specific.
Oh,
Artemis. Oh, hold on. Wait, so when? Are you saying soon? Okay, so here's where I'm at.
Supposed to happen a few weeks ago.
Artemis 1 is the one that was supposed to happen a few weeks ago. So if you're looking for the one that was supposed to happen a few weeks ago, that's Artemis 1.
It is Artemis 1.
Nice pull, Tim. I'm proud of you.
This is the final, guys. I'm going to need complete answers, you know? Whew. That way there's no allegations of shenanigans.
I'm too drunk to know.
Yeah, but you'll be sober when you listen to this, and then I don't need like an angry little message.
Yeah, just so you know, for those listening, 5-star rating and write a review. That'd be awesome of you.
Everyone out there, you heard the man. All right, so we're moving into a category that I just like to call music. But to be a little more specific for you guys, I will say this is all about covers. So, Chris, what do you think Tim's music knowledge is?
Sporadic. That's the thing with music, right? Is that it's inherently sporadic, in that even with like the thing with covers is that like you could be not good at country music, but you could hear a cover by anybody and it could end up being a country song or a rock song. Like, hell, there's a lot that can go into it. What's the score right now, out of curiosity, Drew?
60-50. Tim is in the lead.
I'm gonna give him 10. I'm gonna play it safe. I'm playing the Jimbo Fisher offense here.
All right, Tim, and what about for Chris?
Chris is getting 10 here. His opinions are shit, but his knowledge is vast.
Oh my god, I gotta write that down. His opinion.
Can I get that stitched into a quilt to put on my couch, please? That'd be great.
Oh man, that might be a show title right here.
Shit, but his knowledge is vast.
All right, so we're each going for 10 points here. Tim, you're up first. What band found some money in their cover of Help by the Beatles? It made it to number 3 on the UK charts. What band found some money in their cover of Help by the Beatles? It made it to number 3 on the UK charts.
Okay. Well, the only cover that I know of Help by the Beatles is not something that I associate with money. It's the DC Talk one on Welcome to the Freak Show. We talked about that back when they were doing the Beatles boozy bracketology, because I hate the Beatles. Yeah, I know. Cancel me. But money. Found some money.
Listen, money. I love the Beatles, but I will say they're overrated.
They are very overrated.
How many people consider them the greatest band of all time? No. Are they very influential? Are they good? Yes, and yes. But are they the greatest band of all time? No.
No. I would argue that by saying, what is the greatest band of all time?
I honestly don't have an answer for that.
And there you go.
It's like pornography. I know it when I see it.
See, I'm trying to find an in because I feel like there's something with money. But honestly, I don't have it. I'm going to have to pass on this one.
You don't want to just take a wild ass guess?
I can't even formulate one in my head. British bands will go with... Black Sabbath.
That would be amazing. No, the clue in there was in the found some money. There's always money in the banana stand. It's Bananarama.
Wow. I haven't listened to that song in a while.
That was not going to help me.
I thought it was clever, you asshole.
Real quick, Tim, as a fellow, you know, high school Christian person, the DC Cog version of Help is actually really solid.
Yep.
The three of them harmonize very well. It's actually a really good song.
Well, I might have to check that out then.
That was my introduction to that song, not the Beatles version.
Fair enough. Well, Chris, for obvious reasons, the Beatles are a popular group to cover. This new wave band out of Georgia has a cover of Paperback Writer. Perhaps they had the idea to do this cover while hanging out in a shack.
Oh, Mike Mott is somewhere laughing. Mike Mott is somewhere laughing and screaming at his freaking phone as he's driving to work in Huntsville, Alabama. And I don't know. Shack. So Shack is the clue.
I think Tim's got it.
I don't think Tim wants to phone a friend, though.
He's looking like he's trying to just, you know, keep a straight face over there and failing miserably.
I mean, I'm not mouthing the answer, so I have a guess.
I'm gonna be honest here in the fact that I don't know what the term new wave means. I've heard a lot of bands referred to as new wave, so I kind of know what realm it goes into, but I don't know what that actually means. I'm not a music guy. My music taste goes from Cab Calloway to Sinatra, Martin, and Davis, and then it kind of skips all the way to Pearl Jam. And then it skips again to Offspring and Disturbed. So my music taste is, as Tim says, shit. Georgia New Wave. That's a new term for me. Georgia New Wave. Shaq. Love Shaq. You're looking for the band itself?
I am looking for the band.
The B-52s. What the hell?
It is, in fact, the B-52s. The clue there was, in fact, Love Shaq.
What's the real answer?
No, it is the B-52s.
Are you kidding me?
You got that right. Yeah, the clue Shaq was pointing to Love Shaq.
I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. What's the real answer?
There's no other shoe.
They're new wave?
Yeah, you're now up 70 to 60. How does that feel?
I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah, no. That was my guess.
So you did it.
The only reason I know the B-52s is because of freaking karaoke when I was 22 years old here in Tampa. And there's a girl named Carol at Hennessy's Bar in Old Tamar, Florida, that every time karaoke is on, she sang Love Shaq. Her and Garth, the guy that runs the freaking karaoke stand, used to do it Love Shaq every freaking Wednesday night at Hennessy's.
And you kept going?
Oh, she could sing. She was the bartender. That woman can sing.
Okay. Fair enough.
I still can't tell if you're pulling my leg. Is it really the B-52s?
It is the B-52s. No one's pulling your leg. You've taken the lead. I love that you thought that was just like a completely like fucking random, like out of the blue guess there, but you were right. And you take the lead halfway through regulation.
Whew.
But now we're moving into, because we did some music covers, now we're moving into a category called movie remakes. All right, Tim, what do you think Chris knows about movie remakes?
This is absolutely going to be 10 for Chris. Movies is one of his strongest categories.
All right. And Chris, what about for Tim?
Tim is strong in pop culture. Depending on the remake, I don't know where that could land because there's a really wide net that you could cast. I'm going to give him 10 as well just because I feel like playing it safe. I'm playing the Jimbo Fisher ball control offense here.
All right. All right, fair enough. Practicing some safe trivia. I can't fault you. All right, Chris. While this actor is known for comedies, he tackled a remake of an old-school Hitchcock classic, Psycho, taking on the role made famous by Anthony Perkins.
Oh, you had to go the Psycho route for Chris. You had to go the Psycho route for Chris.
I feel personally attacked.
And you probably don't even know what
I have done. No idea what's happening, yeah.
So, going back to, I think it's episode 2 of Pub Trivia Experience, Chris and the gang were, I believe, plastered out of their minds and playing trivia. And basically the question boiled down to who directed Psycho. And they decided to 3-2-1 it. And on one, Chris shouts out, Stanley Kubrick.
I heard Ooh. The Shining.
Sure you did.
So it is a running gag on PTE and Boozy Bracketology about the Stanley Kubrick classic, Psycho.
So the fun fact here is that the remake was shot-for-shot remade by Gus Van Sant as a joke because he thought no one could remake the movie Psycho. With Anne Heche and her butthole making a cameo in the remake of Psycho, starring Vince Vaughn as the titular killer. Vince Vaughn is the correct answer.
Vince Vaughn is the correct answer. That's why I threw in the old school Hitchcock classic.
Oh, shit. I didn't pull that up.
I didn't either. I just knew it was Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, I was trying to be a little clever there. You know, sometimes as a trivia writer, you like to be a little witty in your trivia writing, right? Yeah, there you go. Little tip of the trade right there.
Oh, man. The fact that you gave Chris a psycho question is perfect.
Inadvertently gave me a psycho question.
Yeah, especially because I write my questions. I don't have the order of who's going first in mind when I place them. So I'll like write them all, and then I'll randomly place like what questions are in what order. And then I'll do a little coin toss to see, okay, who's going first on the odds, who's going first on the evens. So that could have very easily been Tim's question, but you know, the coin toss did you well there, Chris.
So I have my phone on real quick. I'm just texting Mike Mott to let him know I got a psycho question right.
I'm not worried about you cheating. Don't worry.
Mike is going to be laughing in his car as he listens to this episode.
Oh, he 100% is.
Oh, that made me so happy. Well, Tim, I don't know, you know, if this will have the same effect on you. Whether or not this actor did better in his remake of True Grit than John Wayne did is just like your opinion, man.
Yeah, that is Jeff Bridges.
That is Jeff Bridges.
That remake is so underrated. The True Grit remake by the Coen brothers is actually a really solid film.
Oh, it's phenomenal, but I just had to get a Big Lebowski reference in, so no, that's why didn't. That's the remake I went with.
That's a hell of a question. I love that movie. I love both versions of that movie. True Grit, both times is amazing.
Same. I actually saw, because of when it came out, I saw the Jeff Bridges version first, actually.
Oh, my God.
It made me... I'm a youngin'. Well, not that young, but I wasn't into, like, John Wayne movies back when, you know, the Jeff Bridges version came out, because that was, like, what, like, 2008, 2009? Probably somewhere in there.
I thought it was 11, but I could be wrong.
Okay, same ballpark. Yeah, I'm 36, so I'm born in 86. So, you know, it's, you know, my late teens, early 20s is where I started watching some classic movies.
I've had half a bottle, so I'm going to put the bottle down for now.
Okay, that's probably a good idea. Mm-hmm. You going to be okay to get home?
It's right there.
All right, cool. I was just testing to make sure you knew you were in your house. That's the field sobriety test I was doing. All right, so we both pick up 10 points there. So, Chris, you're holding a lead for two questions. How does that feel?
Not good. I prefer to operate from a deficit, point of deficit, but we'll see how this goes.
God, I was really hoping you were about to say you prefer to operate from behind, because I was just going to take that and run with it.
Thought about it, but I decided not to give you the ammunition.
All right, well, fair enough. Well, your next category is U.S. history. Chris, what do you think Tim knows about U.S. history?
Tim's actually pretty good at U.S. history. God, I keep playing the Jimbo Fisher offense, but this ball control offense is going to kill me, but I feel like some of this is kind of landing in his wheelhouse. I'm going to go with 10 again.
All right. And Tim, what about for Chris?
Let's take a gamble. I'm going to give him 20.
All right. The pressure's on now. All right, Tim, this president, prominently featured on U.S. currency and entombed in New York, was the last president to own slaves at some point in his life.
Entombed in New York, prominently featured on U.S. currency. Okay, so running through, you've got Washington, but he's Virginia. Hamilton wasn't president. Let's see. Lincoln wouldn't be New York. Who am I missing? Jefferson would be Virginia. Jackson wouldn't be prominently featured. Ooh, okay. Sorry, I'm trying to picture my money. I don't, who even knows who's on money anymore?
I do.
What is currency? I feel like last to own slaves. Let's go with Grant.
Well, famously in New York City is Grant's tomb. So it is Ulysses S. Grant. Yeah, I went with entombed. I originally wrote buried, but a good friend of mine who lives in the DC area is very pedantic. And if I write a question that's not worded properly, I get a message about it. And so to not deal with, well, he's technically not buried in New York. Who's I went back and rewrote it as entombed.
Who's buried in Grant's tomb?
Grant. You got that question right. Congratulations. You did.
Good job, Tim.
Wow.
You pulled it out.
Which put the Civil War in a different context, but neither here nor there.
Yeah, that's true. Again, they were all shitty people.
There's a theme here.
Yes, it's the shitty people theme. Tim, Chris, me, the founding fathers, we're all shitty people.
Please yeah. don't. Oh, Lord.
No, you're not as bad as the founding fathers. Don't worry. But I guarantee you, in someone's mind out there, you are.
That's true.
All right, Chris, you ready?
No, but let's go anyway.
All right. This rough and ready president who died in office of a stomach disease after 1 year in office was the last president to own slaves while in office.
Adams, Jackson, Van Buren, Harrison, Tyler, Polk, Taylor. Okay, so I'm going through the presidents in order. So I know there was this ongoing thing of presidents who had less than one term or one term only after Jackson. So Van Buren had one term. Harrison, Tyler, yep, they both had one less than one term. Polk only had one full term. Taylor, Fillmore, Pierce, Buchanan. Buchanan's interesting because Buchanan was a Southerner. He's also the only, like, not openly, but he was 100% against. Like, dude was 100%. He lived with a man. Cannon, it's a Lincoln Johnson. You said he died in office?
Who died in office of a stomach disease after 1 year.
Okay, so Buchanan didn't die in office. So we're out of there. Grant Hayes. Garfield died in office because he was shot by Charles Guiteau. God, I feel like Garfield wasn't. I feel like he was New England, though. Let's go back. So Adams, Jackson, Van Buren, Harrison, and Tyler. Polk didn't die in office. Fillmore, Pierce, Buchanan, Lincoln. I feel like Millard Fillmore died in office. Adams, Jackson, Van Buren. Harrison, I know, was from the South, though. Can you repeat the question one more time for me?
Of course I can, buddy. This rough and ready president who died in office of a stomach disease after 1 year was the last president to own slaves while in office.
So it's not Harrison. Harrison died 30 something days into his off in his presidency. So what's bothering me is it Cleveland? No. Cleveland, Harrison, Cleveland. Not Cleveland. Grant Hayes, Garfield. Is it Garfield? Or is it Millard Fillmore? Garfield was shot by Charles Guiteau. And I've read that book. Like, I've read a book about the assassination because, like, Lincoln's cousin or son was not there, but, like, close to there when he was shot or when he was there when he died. Okay, so I'm not trying to delay your podcast. I'm sorry.
You're not delaying anything. This is your world. I'm living in it. Plus, this is entertaining the shit out of me.
The alcohol is not helping right now. Grant Hayes, Garfield, Arthur. So Garfield is definitely the president there.
Garfield's a cat.
No. Oh, shit. Hold on. So Grant Hayes, Garfield, Arthur. Garfield was definitely assassinated in office. Charles Guiteau shot him. McKinley was also assassinated. I don't know anything about McKinley. God, I have listened to the Washington Post President's Podcast several times over, and I don't know anything about McKinley right now.
Well, I think you need to leave them a bad review then.
No, they're amazing. That is, if you like U.S. history or president's history at all, the President's Podcast by the Washington Post is phenomenal. Okay, let's
get back to this. I'm literally writing that down right now.
It's called Presidential. They actually have one about the amendments to the Constitution. I don't remember what that's called off the top of my head. Okay. Jackson, Van Buren, Harrison, Tyler, Polk, Taylor. No.
Tim, you know he's going to name every president by the time this is done, right?
Taylor died in office, right?
It was Obama.
Fillmore. I'm going with Zachary. I'm not going to lock in first name. I'm going to go with Taylor. Taylor is my final answer.
Holy fuck. Look at Tim's face. Tim's like all that just for you to get the fucking right answer.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You need to drink less, sir.
It is it's Zachary Taylor, whose nickname was Old Rough and Ready.
Oh.
Yep, his nickname was Old Rough and Ready. Yeah, there was actually a movement several, I forget if they, yeah, I think they did actually exhume him because there was concerns that it wasn't natural causes, but it was. It's just dirty DC water back in the day.
If you haven't read that story or heard that story, the story of from William Henry Harrison on were all these one or less term presidents. It's insane how dirty that water was in DC. They attributed all the way back to William Henry Harrison. That's how bad it was.
That's everywhere, though, if you think about it, because no one really had any kind of water standards back then.
If only anyone heard of antiseptics, it might have kept Garfield alive. Just throwing that out there.
Where was Lister when you needed him, right?
I think he was in jail.
All right. Well, you've expanded your lead. You're now up 100 to 80. Can you keep it going through the final three questions of regulation? Your eighth category is going to be in geography from A to Z. That's an interesting category, isn't it, fellas?
It is.
Indeed it is.
All right, Tim, what do you think Chris knows about geography from A to Z?
All right.
Or A to Z, if you will.
For our Canadian friends.
I have some listeners in Canada.
I am going to give him 20 here. Right. I need to play some catch up.
All right. Well, Chris, let's play some mustard. What do you think Tim knows?
Tim is a reasonably smart gentleman. Geography, I don't know, is his strong suit. And I got a lead, so I'm going to put a house money here. I'm going to go 20.
Ooh, nice. Hoping to just, tell him to bite the curb here. I like it. What's wrong with an American History X reference?
That solid movie scars the shit out of me. That movie is scarring as hell. The bite the curb reference.
All you have to say is bite the curb, and you feel that in your fucking bones. I have a visceral
reaction to that comment.
Yep. Same. Always.
Oh, God.
And that's how you know it's an amazing movie.
It is.
All right. Well, Chris, you're up first here. And speaking of Garfield from the last question, when I mentioned Garfield the cat, there was a reason I mentioned that, because it was going to appear in this question. Abu Dhabi isn't just where Garfield would send Nermal. It's also the capital of this elective monarchy on the eastern end of the Arabian Peninsula.
Okay, so...
it's also alphabetically the first world capital.
That doesn't help.
I know, but now you're getting the geography from A to Z category name.
So I'm getting the Arabian Peninsula into mind here. So the Saudi Arabia, Oman, Yemen, Qatar, and United Arab Emirates. I think they're all kind of in that same area. Oh Lord, Abu Dhabi. So I don't think it's Oman or Yemen. They've got their own issues they're kind of working through right now. Specifically, Yemen, I think, is working through some pretty bad issues right now. I don't feel like it's Qatar. I feel like that's right. Did you say capital city? Can you repeat the question one more time? I hate to be that guy, but
I did. Abu Dhabi isn't just where Garfield would send Nermal. It's also the capital of this elective monarchy on the eastern end of the Arabian Peninsula.
Elective monarchy. So elective, I'm between two. I'm between Saudi Arabia and I'm between United Arab Emirates. Elective leads me more to United. So I'm going to go UAE, United Arab Emirates.
And judging from Tim's look of you've got to be fucking kidding me, I believe you have the correct answer.
Chris pulls more Jonathans than Jonathan.
Bullshit, sir. My phone is way over there. Just throwing that out there.
I'm really not worried about you guys cheating. All right. Because as other podcasts I've been on have said, If you really feel the need to cheat on a trivia podcast that's just for funsies, you've got bigger issues than cheating on a trivia podcast.
Agreed.
Right. We're out here for fun. So not that I think you should cheat even if it's like for a prize or something, but at least then I could understand it.
No,
but we're just sitting here for shits and giggles.
Please don't be the guy that goes to the freaking bar trivia and cheats it to get $20 and off your bar.
Oh, I hate those fakers too, but you know what I like to do? I like to go there and beat them.
I wish I was that smart.
Yeah, well, I mean, the average pub trivia isn't that smart.
I was actually just having this conversation with someone who was complaining that, you know, certain people in the community run like too difficult a pub trivia. I'm like, well, considering 90% of them are, you know, skewed for the average Joe, you do kind of need some that are skewed to, you know, more upper echelon trivia player. So it's a little more niche to have a more difficult game, but all the ones by my house are run by this company. I won't mention it on the air, but I fucking hate the company. All right, fine. I don't know how many New Jersey listeners I actually have. It's Joe Trivia. Fuck them. Their game is so goddamn easy. On any given week, I'm always perfect into the first round. I mean, into the fourth round, sorry. Through the first three rounds, yeah. Like, it's to the point where it's like, okay, why are... And it amazes me when people... Like, I'm not, like, stuck-up trivia guy. But the fact that some of these questions get missed, it's like, were you in the bathroom? Were you, like, ordering and you didn't listen to the question? Because it's, like, on that kind of level. Like, if you've picked up a newspaper in the last 25 years, you got the question.
Yeah.
To the point where on this past Thursday, normally each round he leads off with a sports question. So I hate the fact that it, you know, there's always at least four sports questions in the game. It's like, come on. Like, it usually benefits me, but not everyone else. But in the first round, it wasn't his first question. It was for the bonus 4-point answer. And so just knowing that, I immediately went, okay, this is either going to be about Pujols or Aaron Judge. Like, it's going to be a baseball question, and you're going to be naming other people. And sure enough, it was naming the people who've hit 700 home runs.
Oh, that's some bull right there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So I was just like, but just knowing like how he normally formats the game, like it's that easy to predict. It's like, yep, this is going to be a baseball question right here. But I digress. It's now time for Tim to answer his geography question. Chris, you got the A, so Tim, you're getting the Z. Zagreb is the capital and largest city of this European country, where many of the exterior shots of King's Landing were filmed for Game of Thrones. And I think Chris knows this one. Quicker than he got to UAE, apparently.
Yes.
Yeah. European capital, Zagreb?
Yep. Oh. Zagreb.
Okay. Exterior landing. The exterior of King's Landing. Yep. Let's see. I don't have an inn here. Okay, so it's not. Let's roll through what it's not. It's not Ukraine. It sounds vaguely like Eastern European. But it's not Ukraine. It's not Russia, obviously. It's Zagreb. Zagreb will go with... I see, I'm torn between two probably wrong answers. We're going to go with my first gut and say Romania.
I'm sorry. The capital of Romania is Bucharest.
That makes sense.
Bucharest. What was your second choice?
I was going to say Czech Republic.
I'm sorry. Prague is the capital of the Czech Republic. Zagreb is the capital of Croatia.
Yes!
Sorry.
Wow. So Chris's gamble there paid off.
Oof.
It is 140-80. You are still very much alive, but... You've taken the highway to the danger zone here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But your ninth category is going to be literature. But because I don't want to be that broad, I'm going to let you know what I'm doing for this literature question before I have you gentlemen wager. I'm going to be describing the plot of a novel that's similar to a movie.
Okay.
So, Chris, what do you think Tim knows about his novel plots?
If you were just at literature, I would have said 20. When you bring movies in, like we've talked about this, Tim, I think, is pretty pop culturally relevant. I'm going to give him 10. I'm going to play the Jimbo Fisher offense and hope Texas A&M can get a win here, even though I went to Florida State and I hate Jimbo Fisher.
But the bourbon's making you love him tonight.
No, I hate Jimbo Fisher.
See, luckily, I've never gotten too attached to college football. I like it.
You're not from the South, sir.
I am not. I will say that, but I'm also a Maryland Terrapin fan, so I can't get too attached to college football. Although knocking off Michigan State, I will call that a nice game for us.
I have been to two FSU Maryland
fans. They were ranked a few weeks ago, Tim, all right?
Yeah, unnecessarily.
Agreed, but it's still better than Maryland can usually do on football.
The problem is that Maryland fans just long for the days of Ralph Friggin. I went to FSU. I'm from New England, by the way, but I went to FSU. Maryland football is terrible. You guys are the worst fans of college football. At least for the fans who go to the game. I almost got into a fight at a game. I'm not going to go into that, but hey, back to you. I've been drinking, so leave me alone.
All right. So, Tim, what do you want to give Chris on this one? It's literature, and he's been drinking.
Yeah, I got to go with... It's such a gamble because he's pulled everything out of his ass tonight. But two. It's like six. I've got to go with 20 here and try to make up some points.
See, there's two differing strategies you could use here. You could go with 20 to try to make up the points, or, you know, 10 to try to prevent lockouts.
Yeah, I know, but
it's a coin flip, but you're counting on the bourbon. You're not betting against Chris here. You're betting on the bourbon.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Well, Tim, the plot of this novel is similar to Pokemon the first movie. Creatures are cloned using fossilized DNA, which backfires when the creatures attack.
Well, that's one way of putting it. I'm going to assume that this is Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park, the novel by Michael Crichton. Great book. Chris, it's okay. Yours is on the same difficulty level. Don't worry.
Did I give him a ranking for that one or no?
You gave him 10.
Okay, good.
All right. Chris, the plot of this novel is similar to Finding Nemo. An extremely determined character traverses the ocean in search of a sea creature he is desperate to find.
Ocean and sea creature? I'm assuming it's Ishmael. I'm going to go with Moby Dick.
It is Moby Dick. But Tim, getting your question there was vital because it keeps you from being doubled up. We're at 160 to 90, heading into the final question of regulation. And that question is in science.
Science. Okay, so it is 160 to 90.
And you can't bet negative.
And I can't.
And he's showing you his bottle.
I can't give him negative. I don't want to hear about this bottle, Chris, because...
Well, so I was like here... So it's not a small amount, but it's not as much as you.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit larger than you, though, so neither here nor there.
Yeah, I'm a solid 270.
I got to go 10 here.
10? All right. And Chris for Tim?
The Jimbo Fisher offense is going to pay off again, going 10, even though I want to go 20. Logic says go 10 and hope I can beat him in the end.
See, all but right, if so you go 20,
don't tell him that. Don't tell him that.
No. I'm going 10. I'm okay. I understand the logic.
He's locked in the wager.
I locked in my wager, though. I'm good.
Tim, this works out better for me in case he gets both of these here because it's still a game going into the final. So don't talk him into beating you. Although it'd be really funny if he locked you out and then still bet in the final and lost. That could make for a great podcast, too.
What's the record on this show?
This might be the longest episode of your career.
It probably is, but that's fine. Because my original format of this podcast used to be hella long because we used to just dick around all the time. This format has actually gotten it down to like under an hour generally. But I like longer episodes, too. Because they get me home on my commute, so.
I like
all
it.
All right, so here we go. Chris, you're up first.
Oh.
It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
No, it's not.
It might be. Who knows? This element is the only metal that is liquid at room temperature and is heavy enough that 2 tablespoons of it weighs about 1 pound.
I'm thankful for the fact that I know this element is liquid at room temperature. That is mercury, I hope.
That is mercury.
I'm glad I didn't go for the 20.
Well, Tim, here's your question. Named for the Roman god of commerce, this planet has a day that is 59 Earth days long.
Has a day that is 59 Earth days long.
Yep.
Okay, so either... Okay, hold on. I think this is Mercury as well.
It is Mercury as well. I did that thing where I was a dick and made both answers the same.
I had to stop and talk to myself about whether or not that was what you were doing or not.
I haven't done it in a little while, and every episode people are like, well, the way you do things, I don't know this answer, but I'm going to guess that it's the same answer as the last one because you do that shit. And I'm like, all right, well, I haven't done it in a while, so here we go.
That's a great question. That is a great question. Great positioning. I love it.
I love having fun. All right. Well, we are heading into our final categories here. Chris, you are up 170 to 100, so it is still anyone's game based on wagering and knowledge. So the theme that Tim picked was the 1995 Cleveland Indians.
Of course he did.
But not to be outdone here, the theme that Chris picked was the 2016 Chicago Cubs.
Well, screw you.
So you guys were just trying to be dicks to each other, and it led to some fun question writing for me.
So the
Chris, I was trying to be a dick to both of you.
Chris is arguably being a dick.
All right. So we're going to start off with the 95 Cleveland Indians.
Do you want our wagers?
Oh, yeah. I do want your wagers first because, you know, that's how this kind of works.
You said Tim's at 100 points. Is that right?
Tim is at 100 points.
I'm at 170.
You are at 170. That is correct.
And again, what's the podcast high score?
I think it's 311.
Hey, Chris, you could reach that.
My balls aren't that big, my friend.
I don't know. Do you have bourbon balls right now?
No. Well, this bottle of Baker's is now half gone. And Drew, I promise you, next time you're when you're coming on our episode, I am finishing this bottle.
For those who couldn't translate that, he said, Drew, for when you come on our episode, I will be finishing this bottle.
I am not sober right now. I'm ready. I'm locked in.
All right.
No, my phone's across the room.
Tim, you trust him with what he says at the end here? All right.
I think that's I trust fine. Him.
Put my phone across back across.
You guys know each other well enough. I just, you know, I always just ask for it because if I got two people that don't know each other, I don't need the, well, did he really wager? It's like, yeah, we're on a fucking trivia podcast. Like, settle down.
So the fun fact about Tim is that Tim and I have been head-to-head on Pub Trivia Experience, I think, Tim, twice. Is that right?
I think so.
I think we're 1-1. One was an episode with both of our wives. One was a head-to-head episode. So this is not a de facto final back.
I like this. No,
we'll have that on Pub Trivia Experience, but I'm really curious to see how this goes.
Well,
I really,
you know, this is going to be where there isn't like a unified championship in wrestling here. All right. So one of you will have the Nerd Off championship and then you'll go back to Pub Trivia Experience and then we'll figure it out there. That's fine. It's all good. All right. So we're going to head into the 95 Cleveland Indians first, you know, 1 year after Major League Two. Just for some flavor text for people who don't know when 1995 was.
Oh, Pedro Serrano, my friend.
You know, for a sequel, not terrible. It's no Major League, let's be real.
Tanaka's hilarious.
Yes, abso-frickin-lutely. All right, so Tim, you're up first. In the 1995 season, the Indians made it to the World Series for the first time since 1954. What was their regular season record? Think carefully.
It was 144. It was a strike shortened season. They won the division by like 30 something games. They won 100 games and they lost 44.
All right. So you're locked in with 144 as your record. All right. Chris, in the 1995 run of the Cleveland Indians, this man became the first MLB player to hit 50 doubles and 50 home runs in a single season, all while fighting off the advances of Gaston.
Oh, my God. So this right here is a Mr. Joey No Albert Bell.
All right, so you've locked in with Albert Bell. All right.
My baseball card says Joey, but
I don't. I don't even know who this Albert Bell fellow is. No, I'm joking. I know who he is. I'm not that young. All right.
I mean, he ran over kids who egged his house.
That
allegedly clip,
Albert Bell running over the second baseman is one of my favorite clips of baseball history.
Well, Chris, now we're going to get to your category of the 2016 Chicago Cubs.
Yes, we are. I'm going to mess this up, and it's going to be bad.
2016 season, the Cubs made the World Series for the first time since 1945. What was their regular season record? Also, think carefully. Oh, wait, I don't want to get sued.
I don't remember how many wins they had.
Some Cubs fan you are. This Indians fan had the 95 record tattooed on his left butt cheek.
Well, did they win the 95 World Series?
They did not. That would be the Atlanta Braves.
So they had, I want to say they had the best record in baseball. It was under 100 wins. They didn't eclipse the 100 mark, but I don't know how far 100 it went, how far under 100 it went. And then my pen is out of ink. Hold on.
Of all the excuses.
I'm just trying to Google the answers. I do the pen click because Jonathan Oakes hates the pen click on his
episodes. Oh, I do too. But nothing against you. It's usually me doing it. I actually have to force myself to use a stick pen so I don't do it. Jonathan's yelled at me once or twice. One time was live and in person when Jonathan and I were in a hotel room together recording. Read into that what you will. It's actually fun because I actually called out of work to do that recording. Jonathan was like, hey, we're going to do a recording while I'm up in Jersey. You want to come? I was like, what day? He's like, Saturday. I was like, oh, fucking work. I was like, yeah, I'll be there. No worries. When the great one calls, you come, right?
Oh, God, I'm going to regret this, but...
I like that you were sitting there doing math, because I know that's what you were doing.
I was doing math because I'm trying to
think... If they had 90-something wins, how many losses did they have?
Well, 162 game season, they were over 90 wins. I just can't think of the number they were at. And I know they played the Cardinals... The freaking Cardinals. Jeff Gore, I hate the Cardinals, my friend. I am sorry, but fellow Pub Driven Experience host Jeff Gore, I hate the freaking Cardinals. I can't say I'm rooting for you guys this year, but oh, Lord.
See, I have a begrudging respect for the Cardinals because of the second place in the ring total. I also do have a soft spot for Albert Pujols, even though he's probably in his early 60s due to like lying on documents.
But you watched every second of him hitting 700.
Absolutely. Listen, I enjoy baseball history.
Respect Yadier Molina. I'm going, he finished with 96 and 66.
96.
And that's wrong, but I'm going to take it.
Okay. All right, Tim. The 2016 season was memorable for more than the Cubs winning the World Series. It also marked how many years of the Cubs playing at Wrigley Field?
Oh.
This is the easy question?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Because I had
after the fact, I will explain to you why it is the easy question.
So my initial thought... Wait, hold on. So the question was, okay, Wrigley Field, it's either going to be it's their 100th or it's going to be... their 108th, which is how long it was like they won their first year at Wrigley Field and then they didn't win ever again until 2016. And that was 108 years. Or I think
I love how Chris is sitting there looking like he's like a NASA physicist trying to like ignore, like he's like watching the DART mission. And he's like, oh God, I really hope this thing fucking hits.
Or they started in Wrigley Field and that would be like 1903 and therefore 113 years. I'm going to say 108 years.
108 years. Okay. All right. Well, let's go back to the 95 Cleveland Indians. Their record in that season was 100 wins and 44 losses. because the season was shortened due to the strike. The man who became the first player to hit 50 doubles and 50 home runs in a single season was Albert Bell. As a small child, I loved going to Indians games at Yankee Stadium because there was always fans in the bleachers ringing the Albert Bell. It was always
fun. I had one.
I maintain the fact that he went by Joey Bell his first year is my favorite Albert Bell meme.
All right.
I have a couple of cards with him as Joey Bell. It's hilarious.
So in the 2016 Cubs, when I asked for the record, I also told you to think carefully. The Cubs did not get credit for 162 games. They had a tie. Major League Baseball does not add ties into the statistics. So the Cubs total for that season was 161 games. However, they did clear 100 wins. Their record was 103-58.
What? I think I had the 103 right in my mind, but not the 58.
But, Tim, you overthought things. This was the easy question. The answer was 100 years.
Of course it was.
You really overthought that, buddy.
I considered it.
1916, right? Yep. Wrigley Field, 1916?
Yep. So, you both got your questions wrong. Chris, you went into this one with the lead. So let's find out what Tim wagered first. Tim, what did you wager?
No, him first. I wagered 75.
So you finish with 25. Did Chris wager smart or did he chase glory? Did he?
I have 5 drinks at this point.
I wagered 172 points.
I wagered 31 points.
31.
I went for the lockout.
All right, so you went for the smart betting. To be honest, I was not sure that you were going to do that.
I was not either.
So you're going to finish this game with 139. So in the Pub Trivia Experience Championship game here on Nerd Off, Chris, you have defeated Tim. Tim and Mike were talking shit that the winner of their game would be the overall winner.
Oh, Lord, I can't believe I won. I don't beat Tim ever. I feel like I don't beat Tim.
There were a couple of ones where if there was any sort of timer on it, I would have won.
Well, like I said, this is for funsies. So,
absolutely, I had a blast.
We let Chris reach as far up his ass as he needs to find the answer.
Can I get my phone now? I don't know what I missed. My wife.
Oh, she divorced you during this podcast.
Oh,
but you know what? I think now that we know who first and second is. I think we need a definitive answer on who third and fourth is.
Yes, I think we do.
I think we do.
Yeah, I want to hear Chris versus, not Chris, Jeff versus Mike.
I kind of want to hear that too, just because I can't get enough of you. You guys are fun, so we're going to keep this going. And even though they haven't agreed to it yet, we're gonna have Mike and Jeff on.
Yes, we are.
They're going to agree to it because, you know, listen, just like everyone that has a podcast out there, audience, I'm going to give you a little secret. We all like to hear ourselves speak, and we're all whores. So we'll go on whatever podcast asks us to. Tell me it.
That being said, we're all like legit having a fun time on this podcast. Drew, you run an amazing show. This is a lot of fun.
I try. Listen, the real secret's not taking yourself too seriously. I mean, the guys from Triviality say that from the start. It's a little bit of trivia and a lot of fun, right? So,
That's...
Sure.
That's really what this all boils down to. Listen, there's a lot to be said for people that take it very seriously, but you know, there's also room for us schlubs out here that just like to have a good time. We drink and we know things. Crap, HBO is going to sue me now. That would assume that like one of the 70 people that listens to me is from HBO's like legal department. Which, knowing my bad luck, I have one of them. All right, so you guys, this championship game is over, but I want to give you guys both a chance to say something. We will start with our loser. Tim, what would you like to say on your way out tonight?
Well, first off, thanks for having us. It was a blast. But yeah, just follow us on Pub Trivia Experience and Boozy Bracketology. We have a Discord channel that we've really started to cultivate. You can find that at ptebb.com/discord and get in on all that fun live chatting goodness.
I'll do that when I'm sober.
I'll send you a link.
That would make my life easier. P-T-E-B-B. I think I probably figured it out. But okay, Chris, what do you have to say on your way out? You're just holding your bourbon.
I feel like I should finish my sixth drink of the night.
And I will tell you folks at home, these are not little baby sips he's drinking. These are gulps here. He's
I am 280 plus, let's put it that way. But listen, Drew, my friend, you're freaking awesome. Your show is a lot of fun. I have binged your show.
You're just saying that because I pay you every month.
The $18 a month helps, but Drew, your show is awesome, my friend. This is great. We're going to get you over on Pub Trivia Experience here in the very near future. Believe me, you're going to get a text tomorrow. Look at that. I have a feeling Tim wants in on that game.
Probably.
I would love that. Probably. I would love that. Actually, it's funny because when you were saying a lot of the things ended up in Tim's wheelhouse. So, you know, I try to write, if I don't know the folks involved too well, which again, I don't know you guys that great yet. I try to write what I consider a balanced game. When I know both people, I try to like even out like the wheelhouse questions. Cause like if I've known you guys for years and I know, okay, like these are your strengths, these are his strengths. I try to make it fair and balanced, but this was, you know, pretty blind. So, you know, I kind of would love to go against Tim at some point because we seem to have similar wheelhouses.
You do. I'm kind of curious, Tim, you kind of chime in here, but I'm curious to know, would I rather you and him go against you go against each other, or do I want to put you up against the gauntlet that is Mike and Steven?
Oh, I like a challenge.
I think Drew and I versus Mike and Steven.
Hell yeah.
That is holy crap. We'll work it out. We'll work it out. But Drew, my friend, this show's awesome. I've gone back and listened to your episodes. You got my 5-star rating. I have a lot of fun listening. I have even more fun playing.
Listen, that's honestly the way I approach it. I just want people to have a good time. Like I have a Patreon out there. I haven't been plugging it because I wanted to make sure.
Let's go.
I'm going to start doing that soon. I just wanted to get to the point where I was back out there consistently again. Because I had the podcast going for a while, I stopped it, and then there was a point where I started it briefly. But I want a good number of episodes out there before I, you know, start asking people for their money again. But no, it's definitely back for good. I'm at a point in my life where this is fun to me, just running this stuff. So
I'm at a point where I'm a whore. So patreon.com/PTEBV is your exclusive home for all of our
absolutely content. And. Listen, what was one of the first things I did when I had you guys on? I went on and I added myself to your Patreon. I started listening to your whole hot seat tournament. I love it. That format is freaking phenomenal, by the way.
Is it really? I'm glad to know. Like, all credit where credit's due, that is 100% a Tim Dipple idea. We brought Tim in. Tim, was it 6 months ago or so? 8 months ago?
Something like that.
So Mike, Jeff and I kind of originated, Mike and I originated the show. We brought Jeff in rather shortly. Tim has been a welcome addition. Tim is amazing. He's a genuinely good dude, but just idea after idea. He is the Michael Keaton character from Night Shift. He is the guy that wants to put tuna fish in the tuna before you actually cook the tuna. He is 100% an idea man. If you haven't seen Night Shift, by the way, go see Night Shift. The movie's amazing. Tim, you're a good dude, but he's an idea guy. He wants to make us grow us. Drew, we're going to have you on the show really quickly, my friend. I am looking forward to it. Too. I am drunk. So, Tim, back to you.
Tim, take it away. And now a word from our sponsor.
I mean, I don't think I have anything to add. I don't think I have anything to add.
Jim Beam Company would like to add a few words here.
Not a sponsor. Could be.
If anyone from Jim Beam is out there listening, your product has made tonight a very entertaining evening, and it has proven that even when you are inebriated on your products, you can still win a trivia competition. Oh, it's a scientific fact there. Don't quote me on that, though. Now, guys, this was seriously great, and I look forward to coming onto your podcast and potentially kicking some ass with Tim.
That's it for this episode of Nerd Off. Tune in next week. Same nerd time, same nerd channel.